This morning, we are going to look at the second of our three R's here in the three R's series, and that's reintegration, the process of bringing people back together into a state of unity. And there's essentially two questions that I want to think with you about as we talk about reintegration. First, how do we reintegrate? How do we come back together as a church in the aftermath of COVID-19? And what do we do when we're back together? What is the goal or what is the purpose that we focus on as we come back together as a church? Here's why I'm asking these questions. By and large, I am very proud of the way that the church has hung together throughout the whole pandemic over the last couple of years. You know, right off the bat, you figured out how to use Zoom. We figured out how to mute and unmute and do all these sorts of things. And for 2 years at plus now, week in, week out, you've been joining us online or you've been joining us here in person. And I'm really happy about the way that we as a congregation have weathered the pandemic. But let's be honest, we're missing some people. And we're not the same church that we were before the pandemic. Not that I want us necessarily to get back to exactly how we were before, but we're not the same strong, we're not the same integrated congregation that we were in the past. Now listen, especially at home, I am not saying that joining us online is bad. Everybody say it with me. Joining on Zoom is not bad. If I thought it was, I wouldn't go to the trouble of making it possible for you to join online or from another country for that matter. If you can be here in person, I think it's important for you to be here in person. However, if it's hard for you to get around, then thank you for making church a priority and getting here via Zoom on Sunday mornings. But even then, it's a question for us to think about as a church. How do we integrate? How do we come together as the church, even if we're not all in the same building at the same time? That's the first question. How do we come back together? The second question, what do we do when we're together? Right? We have a limited number of hours and dollars to spend. How are we going to spend those resources? What things are we going to focus on? To help us to think through those questions, I would like to look with you today at a passage of scripture in the book of Hebrews. It's Hebrews 10. Hebrews, if you turn there right now, it's the last big book at the back of your Bible before Revelation. And we're going to look at Hebrews 10, starting in verse 19. So Hebrews 10, verse 19 says this. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter into the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is his body, and since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. Now, as you might guess, a book called Hebrews is written to largely a Hebrew audience, and that passage very much reflects a Hebrew worldview. If you were living in ancient Israel right now, you would have a priest who interceded for you to God. You wouldn't talk directly to God. You had a priest that you went to. And the priest could make sacrifices for you, but they could never really cleanse you of sin. And you also, because they had to keep doing it, you also had a great high priest, the most greatest of all the priests, and he could go into the most holy place. He could go into the very presence of God, the little box at the back of the temple or the tabernacle. He could go into God's presence, but only once a year, and only with blood sacrifices. So the reality is, in that system, you could never really get close to God. An ancient Israelite perspective was never feeling like you had a close relationship with God. You were always at a distance. And yet the book of Hebrews here in chapter 10 says, listen, we have a great high priest, a high priest who is greater than any high priest who has come before, and his name is Jesus. And while the other priests would go into that holy place only once a year and with an animal's blood, Jesus gave himself to enable us to come right in, to part the curtain, as it were, to the most holy place, and to allow us to walk up with God. We who were once so sullied by sin could now approach God to come face to face, as it were, because Jesus has cleansed us of guilt and shame. That's a huge, that's a huge gift. It's also a huge paradigm shift. You know, up until this year, I've been using the same lawnmower that I have since Julie and I got married. And it's this super basic, like the cheapest thing you could buy, Canadian Tire. It's got a cord. In the last 2 years or so, the wheels kept falling off of it. And so I'd have to put the bolt back on and tighten it every time I used it. And then went out and pushed the thing again. And then I'd have to stop halfway through and tighten the bolt back on. Have to carry the cord around behind you and everything. And then finally the handle broke on it. And I thought, you know, if I duct tape this together, I can get a couple of more lawnmowers out of it. And finally, I just said, forget it. I'm getting a new lawnmower. And I got a new lawnmower, and it's practically fun to cut the grass now. It is, Ben says. It's practically fun. I just sit and drink iced tea while Ben cuts the grass. But this lawnmower is so much better. It's smooth. It's sleek. It makes the old one obsolete. And that's what Jesus, as high priest, did with that old way of approaching God. Jesus said, I'm going to get the job done for real. The old lawnmower, the old priests, they got the job done mostly. But the new way allows you to come right up to God. It gets the job done. Jesus made us permanently right with God. Given that, what do you do? Given that incredible gift, how do you respond? The book of Hebrews now is going to give us four answers. Okay? Given that we have this high priest who allows us to come right into God's presence and interact with him on a close daily basis, first, you draw near to God with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith. That's verse 22. We go right into God's presence and we dig into that. We invest in our relationship with him. We do it with a sincere heart or a true heart, your Bible might say. What does that mean? It means going in to meet with God with an undistracted heart, paying total attention to him. For those of you at home, there's a loud noise out back implying that a loud child, they're not laughing at giving God undivided attention. Given Jesus' love for us, we go right into his presence with a sincere heart. We clear up distractions. Admittedly, sometimes Julie says, are you listening to me? And I gotta go, oh yeah, right, I'm paying attention, I truly am. It doesn't happen often. We cast distractions aside so that we can give our attention fully to God. That's the first thing that the Hebrews writer says. Two, second thing, you hold unswervingly to your faith in him. Right, that's verse 23. Look at, let us hold unswervingly to the hope that we profess. For he who promised is faithful. But there are lots of things that will want to tempt us off course or push us off course and make us say, well, I can't deal with this anymore. I give up. The book of Hebrews says, no, hold on steadily to God no matter what. Your great high priest has promised not only to be with you in this life, but to get you into the next. So hold unswervingly to the hope that you have in him. Third, you consider how you may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. That's verse 24. Let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Now, notice here, the author of this book has said to us, there are individual ways that you respond to the grace of God, and there are corporate ways, there are community ways that you respond. You know, draw near to God with a sincere heart, hold unswervingly to your faith in him. Those are things that theoretically you can do by your own, by your lonesome. However, there are other things that God calls us to do that require other people. And that's verse 24. Literally, fix your thoughts on how you may spur one another to love and good deeds, right? Make every effort to consider how you can help another person to be an encouragement. If you are a follower of Jesus, then you have a responsibility to build into the life of the person who is sitting next to you. Go ahead, look at them and say hi. Don't be shy. As a follower of Jesus, you have a responsibility to build into them, to consider how you can spur them on to love and good deeds. As John Piper puts it, focus on helping people to become loving people. One of the main ways that we respond to our great high priest is by spurring each other on to love and good deeds. And that's why the final point, the final response, is so important. Four, we keep on meeting together, no matter what. That's verse 25. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. One of the most important things that you can do to respond to the grace of God is to meet together with other believers. And this verse, 25, and the verse before, 24, tell us why. So that we can gather together to encourage each other, to spur each other on to love and good deeds. Church is not just about the pastor teaching you things. Church is about building each other up. And it's really interesting to see that even in the first generation of Christians, people needed the reminder to make church a priority, right? Apparently sleeping in on Sunday mornings is not a modern phenomenon. The author of Hebrews thought it was a big enough issue that he wrote it into the Bible. Now, to be fair, the people that he was writing to were probably not always meeting together because it was dangerous to do so or illegal. But even so, even in the face of that kind of real opposition, the book of Hebrews says, hey, let's not neglect meeting one another because Jesus is coming soon. So given that we have a great high priest who freely brings us into the presence of God, what do? Verse 22. Let us draw near to God with sincere heart and full assurance of faith. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope that we profess, for he who promised is faithful. Let us consider how we may spur each other on to love and good deeds. And let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage each other. That's Hebrews 10, 19 through 25. Let's think now about how this helps us to answer our questions. How do we come together as a church and what do we do when we're together? First, how do we reintegrate? Before we answer that, maybe there's an even more fundamental question to answer. How important is it to come to church? Right? You only have a limited number of hours on the weekend. Why should you give up a couple of them to come to church? Well, what does the book of Hebrews say? You have a great high priest who has opened the way for you to come right up into God's presence. Dig into your relationship with him. Invest in that relationship with him, and not just as an individual, but as a group of people who have corporately experienced the closeness and the presence of God in a very personal way. Yeah, it struck me this week that the people who first received this letter were listening to this. For them to make the effort to go to church could be illegal. It could be dangerous. For us, all we got to do is take a nice Sunday drive down Highway 2 or tune in on Zoom. Is it important to come to church? Yeah, but not just to hear me talk. Because verses 24 and 25, we need to consider how we can spur each other on to love and good deeds. We need to be able to encourage one another. That is why church gathering is so vitally important, because church is not the pastor filling everybody up. It's everybody filling each other up. Charles Stanley writes, in the atmosphere, the worship and fellowship in God's house, we discover that we are not alone. We hear others talk about how the Lord has miraculously provided for them. One may describe the pain that he has suffered as a result of a loss, or a new believer might tell her story of redemption, rejoicing in God's grace. As we listen to others recount God's work in their lives, something happens in us. We are spurred on to faithfulness and to praising God for his goodness. I don't know if you can identify with that, but I totally can. I don't know what this says about me or about my preaching afterwards, but like, I can count on one hand the number of sermons that I really remember having an impact on my life. And yet, I can tell you very specifically where in different churches specific people stopped and listened, like really listened to what was happening in my life and then prayed for me or gave me a verse that came to mind as they were hearing it. Moments when people just spoke into my life. It's those unplanned moments that make church so important. Moments when iron sharpens iron, right? As the proverb says. So, as we think together about coming back to church, I would encourage you, don't just come back to be built up, but come with your construction hat on, right? Build other people up as well. Think long and hard about how you can spur yourself, spur others onto good deeds. And to be honest, I'm not sure that the way to do that is by, you know, pushing them or guilt tripping them or getting people to do good deeds, tricking them. I hate it when people go, the Lord told me that he should help, you should help in this way. If he tells me, okay, I agree. But you know what? I think the best way for us to spur each other on to love and good deeds is to do loving and good deeds. Right? You see another person sharing, being gracious, building another person up, helping when in need. And that moves you. You go, I could do that. I can help in that way. Seeing someone else being caring is the first domino that starts a series of people helping each other. And I think that this is especially important for people who are joining online. You know, I'm glad that you are joining us this way, and I'm delighted to see you on Zoom. The reality, though, is that you miss out on the spontaneous, you know, person-to-person interactions that are important to faith. But look, who says that you can't have those at home, right? After we hang up the Zoom call, maybe call somebody else that you see on the screen right now. Check in with them. See how they are doing. For people who are here, who see the faces up on the screen, give them a call when you get home. Ask them what they learned from Scripture. See how you can pray for them. You know, even if you are not here in person, we can still encourage each other to love and good deeds. How do we reintegrate as a church post-COVID? Well, I think it's as simple as committing to making church a priority. What do we do as we gather together? Well, we draw near to God with a sincere heart, right? We encourage one another to love and good deeds. We come to church to be the church, right? We don't come to church to be a kind of optimist club. We don't even come to church to be a benevolent society. We come to church to be the church, to do what the church alone can do, which is draw near to God together as people and encourage one another to live lives that are consistent with the love that God has for us. I really hope that we will unite not just around the idea of me doing ministry, but of the church doing ministry, one person to the next, you doing loving things and building one another up as you go. I really think that it's crucial for us as the congregation, the specific congregation that we have, that each one of us commits to having personal time when we draw near to God, when we listen to God, when we hear what he says through his word, when we personally respond to that, and then gathered together as a church, that's where ministry grows out, where each person is responding to God speaking into their lives and applying it and then seeing it multiply as we work together. As we come back together, let's focus on being the church and building each other up in love. Come to church to be the church. As we close, I'll just share an email I got a few weeks back because it kind of captures the message at the heart of this sermon. It says, as church attendance numbers fade across the nation and online services become convenient, it's important to remember why church attendance for you and your family matters so much. You can't serve from your sofa. You can't have a community of faith on your sofa. You can't experience the power of a room full of believers worshiping together on your sofa. Now, if that's the only way that you can participate, then please participate that way. But the reality is that Christians aren't consumers. We are contributors. Right? We don't watch. We engage. We give. We sacrifice. We encourage. We pray by laying on hands. We do life together. The church needs you, and you need the church. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for making a way for us to come to you. You are not far and removed. You are not distant and uncaring. Rather, you invite us right into your presence. You've made the way for us. You rolled out the red carpet, as it were, for us to come and experience you personally. God, I pray that each one of us would be spurred, would have the desire in our hearts to come to meet with you day by day. And we pray that you would speak into each of our hearts as we pray, as we read your word. And then, Lord, I pray that as we come together, we would be enabled to share the things that we have learned in our personal Bible study time, to build one another up, to be an encouragement to one another. Lord, I thank you for this congregation, the eagerness that we already have to love and to support and to encourage one another. I pray that we would take that and grow in it. Lord, I thank you for the people who join us on Zoom. I'm grateful for them as they make the effort to get here via the online technology. When it's difficult to get here in person. Lord, I pray that you would bless them at home and that you would give them insight into how to continue to build into other people, even if they're not here in the building. Help us who are present in the building to be a blessing to those who are at home by phone calls or cards or visits. Lord, your love is too good to do nothing about. And so we pray that you will help us to experience it and engage with it for ourselves, and as a community together. We pray all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen.